This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
I thought the whole thing, while entertaining to a certain degree, I think it's all silly. And it's not even, LeBron, you should be focused on getting the NBA. I'm not like saying it like that. It's like, LeBron, don't even worry.
He's pretty focused
stuff.
Last night.
That's not what I'm saying.
I'm just saying
like, man, don't even worry about this stuff, dog. Like, don't even, like, why are you worried about this?
Should it have stopped at him and Stephen A's conversation?
Yeah.
Like,
I think it should have. It's like, why are you LeBron James, man. Like, why are you worried about this stuff? Don't even.
I mean, for even like Stephen A. too. Like, should Stephen A. turn that into content? Like, LeBron obviously came to him with something serious. I'm sure LeBron also knew there'd be cameras out and stuff.
I wouldn't have, but I understand that's Stephen A.'s job. That's the contract he got.
What is Stephen A.'s job?
To create content. That moment was for content. That was a public moment. All this other stuff. That was prime content. It wasn't that backstage or nothing like that. It was out in the open, so you felt like you had to talk about it. I understand it,
but
I probably wouldn't.
To your content point, that's not the origins of this. The origins of this LeBron Stephen A situation is not the garden. It's the I'm pleading with you as a father. That's the origins of this.
Yeah, and look, there could be a bunch of other things that. There could have been a bunch of other things that set LeBron off, and I've seen because I don't watch everything that Stephen A. says, so maybe he said some other things and whatever. That one was like, I don't know. I wouldn't have been that hung up on what he was saying in that moment.
Yeah, it was different.
He's probably said worse things than that moment. And saying I'm pleading with you as a father, like
if you make it personal though, like you can't really dictate how someone reacts.
Yeah,
off of that.
That's not sports content.
Yeah, that's different. You make it personal, like that's on. Good luck.
He didn't say I'm pleading with you as the captain of the Los Angeles Lakers. He didn't say I'm pleading with you as one of the greatest players of all time. That's not what he said. He said I'm pleading with you as a father. That's different.
Okay. Because it sounded like I'm trying to defend Stephen A. And
you can defend him all you want.
Didn't have to say that. Like, I just didn't think that was a big deal. That was not a big deal.
But clearly, it was to LeBron.
But I'm saying for me, like, that's not a big deal. He's talking about it.
So Carmichael Dave goes on 1140 because he saw Reese strike out in the Little League All-Star game. Mm-hmm. And Reese is getting ready for a big high school, I don't know, transfer, I don't, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. KC, I'm pleading with you as a father. Don't let this man transfer to this baseball juggernaut. You don't have a problem with that?
No, like, because I don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't even work.
I don't, but just like LeBron to Stephen A., I don't care what you say, dog. Like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do as a father. And you saying all this on the airways, like, it's whatever. Now, it could have been a situation where Bronny felt some type of way. Like, so if Reese saw what Carmichael Dave said and he felt some type of way, that may trigger me to feel a certain type of way, and I may do something. And that's one of the things Stephen A. said. He said, he hypothesized that Bronny felt some type of way when he saw Stephen A., and maybe LeBron saw that.
Yeah, he said Bronny was sitting there sulking, looking sad.
He said he walked by him and just had a sad look on his face. And that could have triggered LeBron to feel,
And that's the thing. Like, that's the difficulty with, and I'll use the term content creators. That's the difficulty, because not all content is real. Mm. And Stephen A. is a born writer. He is a storyteller. That's why he makes $20 million a year, because he tells stories. That's why the news division of cable television is storytelling. Mm-hmm. The sad part of all of this, whether we're talking news or we're talking sports, is we've blurred into this world where not all of the stories are reality. And the one place you can go to social media and get whatever you want to. You can have an Instagram profile, an algorithm that is catered to your likes and your needs and your desires, and you can live in that world. You could do the same thing on Twitter. You could do the same thing on every social media app. There are people who are sitting 10 feet from us whose job is to know that you are a 25 to 50-year-old male who needs their carpet cleaned, needs their car tuned up, is in the market for a Mercedes, is in the market for a Kia. Those people right there outside the studio, that's their job. And they're going to find you, and they're going to feed you that ad. But on networks that are designed to be news, the stories should be real. Now, you can have your opinion, whether this is political or whether this is sports. You can have your opinion. There's opinion. But Stephen A. tells stories that are rooted in a real life situation. But I think a lot of the storytelling elements he adds are not. They're literally for storytelling. And the Bronny story. You don't know what kind of mood Bronny is. Bro, what are you talking about? You framed it as if Bronny was up. This is how you framed it. Whether this is what you said, this is how you framed it. Bronny was sad because he saw you and dad went to take care of it. I do not believe that. That kid has been LeBron James' son his entire life. He knows what he was dealing with when he was getting drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers. He knew what he was dealing with when he went to USC. He knew what he's been dealing with his entire life. To see Stephen A. at the Garden and get sad? Come on, man, stop. Stop.
I don't necessarily believe it either. But I also live from, like, and we see it in the chat and everything else like that. I'm probably different from this. Like, none of these guys bother me. Like, they're whatever. They are who they are. Stephen A. Smith is who he is. Skip Bayless is who he is. Colin Cowherd is who he is. I have a choice to not absorb any of their content and let them do them. Colin Cowherd is, I don't, that's not my guy. I don't really go to his arena to get any content from or listen to what he has
discovered
to say.
The Bears on Thanksgiving, sir. not the Bears. I'm sorry. He discovered the Detroit Lions. He said America is going to learn what we've learned, and that's that the Detroit Lions are real contenders. He said that on Thanksgiving this past season.
But the whole thing is, like,
So you better tune in if you want to learn something, sir.
Me personally, guys like that, I just don't get that worked up about. So that's what I mean when, like, I'm like LeBron and somebody saying something or whatever. If I don't hold any weight with what they say, it just don't really matter to me. That much to me.
It's LeBron, like, probably made it bigger than it needed to be by approaching him. And I think if you were to give LeBron a do-over to see where this all is, not because he regrets it, but because of the amount of tension Stephen A. has gotten from it and the amount of dialogue that it's created, I feel like he would do it over and just wouldn't approach him.
Approaching him, he probably wouldn't. But approaching him,
makes, I mean, I could be wrong. I'm guessing.
It makes more sense to me because that seemed like a heat of the moment situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, hey, this dude's here. I'm feeling some type of way, mm-hmm. and I'm going to go see him.
Mm-hmm.
Anything after that, like the whole McAfee interview and even addressing Stephen, you could do the interview, but addressing him on that, nah, you don't need to do all that. Like, you don't, you said what you said when you saw him. And to me, that's all that's needed. Like, we don't, let that go, man. Let that go, because now you just feeding this guy that you don't like. You're feeding him with more stuff to make him popular or pop off more, man.
I wonder if, because Pat McAfee doesn't like Stephen A. either, or at least I don't think he does.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder if, I assume it wasn't someone, because when you have a show like the Pat McAfee show, there are people who will reach out to Tyrese Halliburton, who will reach out to Peyton, Shams, whoever. I feel like, and I could absolutely be wrong, it was probably Pat McAfee that reached out to LeBron James.
Maybe. I don't even think nobody reached out. I think LeBron did that on his own. LeBron did that on his own to get it, Stephen A. He knows what the relationship
is. I don't think he went on that show to get it, Stephen A. That was an hour and 12-minute conversation. That was 5 minutes of that conversation. It wasn't even five minutes.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. They got beef. Go to the competitor and get his numbers to pop off over Stephen A. Huh. Like, that's what I took it up as immediately.
So you think LeBron went to Pat McAfee?
Yeah, because
I don't believe that for a second.
Mm. Maybe not. But I think LeBron, to get back at Stephen A. or
now maybe he got the call and thought, okay. Maybe the scenario is exactly what you think it is. I just don't think LeBron called first.
I mean, who would think to call LeBron in that situation? I guess it could happen, but like, why would you call LeBron and say, hey, you want to come on the show?
Why would you?
Yeah,
you're in Indiana. You're in Indiana. You're Pat McAfee. Like, you. Why wouldn't you?
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's like, and it's different. Obviously, if LeBron came here, we wouldn't. When he's here with the king, we wouldn't say, "Hey, let's see if we can get LeBron on." They'd be like, "Oh, LeBron's in town." Like, you wouldn't think to like, let's get him on the show.
I mean, I appreciate it. On,
I understand it's different, but like I said, so
like what I mean is Pat could probably call LeBron.
So
can you call LeBron?
No, you probably can't though.
No,
I can't.
If I could, I'd try to get him on. I wouldn't have no problem. LeBron, do you know that your first game was in Sacramento? Can you come on our show and talk about it?
I just think it's like random. It's really random to like, he's in town, let's call him and let's see if he can get on the show. I just think
it could be a variety of things like that had to work. Like, how long were the Lakers in Indiana? How long has this been set up? When did they reach out? Like, because the idea that Stephen A. reached out, excuse me, Pat McAfee reached out because he doesn't like Stephen A., that's completely plausible to me. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's as big of a reach as you think it is, just because of who Pat McAfee is. But I think your scenario that like, oh, this is nefarious, this is to get it, yeah, that's all possible.
And I'm not even saying that like a diss at LeBron. Like, it's, that's a move. You got a problem with this guy? Go to his ops and make his platform pop off for, you know, X amount of hours. And like, yeah, like there, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's. I see the vision in that. That's all good. So I ain't coming at it like, LeBron, why did you do that? I see the vision, if that was what he was looking for. But I think all of it is a little silly. All of it is a little, it should have ended when LeBron confronted him. obviously Stephen A was going to say what he had to say after that.
Stephen A has gone on Fox News to discuss this.
Yeah, and that's what he that's what he's going to do. Like, for if I was LeBron, it would have been over after I said something to you. And like you said, the whole interview wasn't him talking about Stephen A. I'm not making it out like that's what the whole Pat McAfee thing was. But I wouldn't even. I was like, if it would have came up, I would have been like, man, I said my piece to him when I saw him and asked that.
It's also, I think the big thing with Stephen A is like now I think he's threatened.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcast.
And two of the top 10 players of all time that I can remember. LeBron James and Kevin Durant. All right, Stephen A. Stephen A is Silliness. Really tough. He's really tough. But my biggest takeaway from that conversation remains Pat McAfee saying, welcome a guy who has been in the NBA longer than he hasn't. That is such an amazing line to me.
The biggest thing I took away from it was LeBron talking about the NBA being rigged.
So I didn't get to that part. I read the quotes.
That was crazy.
I read the quotes, but I didn't have a
the draft lottery being rigged, not the games. But that was crazy.
Would you be surprised?
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm surprised he says something like that, though. I am like, that's. I think the Stephen A. Smith is overshadowing that moment. Like, why would you say that?
I'm guessing Adam popped up on his phone when he left the studio yesterday. Hell, David Stern might have called from the grave like, Bron, come on, man. What are we doing? What are we doing? We'll come back. Jake Gayden joins us.
Hey.
It's big night over at CBS 13. It's a big night for Kenny Caraway. We'll talk about it next year on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Our man Jake Gayden from CBS 13 joining us here. Big night over on CBS with the tournament getting back underway. We'll talk about that. And who will be joining you coming up here in just a couple of minutes is Jake's got his Yankees jersey on. He's excited for opening day. Everybody's geared up for the return of baseball. Some of us are geared up for the return of the Sacramento Kings final game of the homestand tonight here. The 7-game homestand, Jake, that every Kings fan had been looking at for the last couple of months comes to a conclusion tonight. And it sounds like, from the way we were talking during the commercial break, maybe you don't have a ton of confidence in them heading into tonight's game.
The vibes aren't, like, we talked about this earlier in the week, like, you know, Zach LaVine saying the vibes aren't good, people aren't happy, and then Doug turns it around and says, like, hey, you know, when you're upset when you don't win. But, like, vibes aren't right. Like, people are jumping ship. Like, look at it. Like, starts with Mike Brown, you know, getting fired at the beginning of the season. Then Luke Laux leaves middle of the season to take a job at FSU. And then Wes Wilcox, who has his hands on all this mess of what we had this season, takes the job with Utah. And, like, I was talking with a couple assistant coaches prior to the game against OKC. And I was like, guys, are you surprised at all? And they're like, nope, this is the NBA. And I was like, what are the vibes? It's just, they're like, we don't know what to expect. Like, this season has been so many different twists and turns and roller coaster rides. Like, we don't know what's next. So, like, for me, I'm not riding this roller coaster of everything's going to be, you know, sunshines and rainbows and everything like that for the next couple of weeks. Right now, you know, it's a one game at a time type of situation. Yeah. And honestly, I'm hoping that they can figure this thing out over the next couple of days, especially on this road trip right now, because otherwise you're fighting for the 9 and 10 seed against a Dallas team that's limping into the playoffs and a Suns team that should not be playing well right now, but for some reason they are. You know, you want to have some hope for this season, but you know, everything that they've had done this year has been lackluster, and could they have another, you know, win streak in them? Sure. Right. You know, could they go 7-3 in the last 10 games of the season? Yeah, that's a possibility. But right now, from what I've seen from the team, the body language, how everyone's been acting around the Golden One Center, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in what's going to happen for the rest of the season. I could see this completely falling apart and getting off the rails in the next 10 days. But, you know, that's why they have to play the basketball game to prove that that could happen or that won't happen.
Yeah. What a bummer Jake Gayden turned out to be.
Yeah. I used to be high on the list. I used to be like the biggest Beam team believer, and I was like, you know, high hopes for everything. But like, this team ain't getting out of the ninth seed. This team is not gonna be, you know, even if they win that first game, they ain't going on the road and being the team and getting in. And what's your reward? oh yeah, you got to get swept from the OKC Thunder? Like, don't sign me up for that. I have no interest in seeing that. I don't care if OKC's never been playoff tested. That team is good. And just because they played well in the third quarter against them a couple nights ago still doesn't give me any hope because they still won by 20. And yes, Malik Monk wasn't playing, but is that really the guy you're going to, you know, hold your hat on saying this is the guy that's going to make this a big time thing? Like, I don't know. I'm not a beam team believer right now.
That's perfectly fair. I mean, they haven't in the last 4 games, definitely haven't given people much to believe in. But one of the things that we say on here often that I still think is true is this is a team that can beat anybody. They just beat Memphis. They just beat Cleveland a couple of games ago. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that they do anything that you're talking about, fall off the wagon or win 7 of the last 10, win 2 games in the play-in and get into the playoffs. Like, they, anything is possible for this particular team. But I do disagree. Like, I do want them to get into the playoffs. Like, I'm not really – They get swept or whatever, but Jake, I mean,
is that really what you want, though? Is that like what you want? You hang your head on? Oh, we made it into the playoffs. So then you keep this same front office and same coaching staff. Like, I love Doug, don't get me wrong, and I do believe no matter what happens, Doug should stay. But are you really under the impression that, oh yeah, it's okay, we made it to the playoffs, we made our year goal? Like, is that your ceiling? Like, no, your ceiling is like competing in the playoffs, and you're not going to do that against the Thunder team that are going to get, they're going to sweep you in the first 4 games.
Ceilings change, pal.
Yeah.
It's different now. Like, right. I know that wasn't our expectation entering the year, but when you start 13-18, you fire your head coach, you trade your star player, you move multiple pieces along the way, like, and expectations have to change a little bit.
And to that respect, if that is how we cover it, I don't ever want to hear anybody get mad at somebody for quitting. I don't ever want to hear nobody, because if you are saying like, oh, you don't want to do that, you want to compete for change. If these guys quit tonight, I don't want to hear anybody disgusted about it. I want empathy for it all. Like, yeah, I could understand why you would quit. And we know that's not the case. Mm-hmm. If they quit tonight, they would be lit up mm-hmm. on every platform that we have in this city. So you can't say, why are we even doing this? Because, like, it don't matter. You're going to lose. And then if Zach LaVine shoots 4 times, talking about how strange it is, or if DeRozan quits or somebody like that. Like, we can't have it both ways. If people say, why are we even doing this? You have no shot. Then accept that these guys might quit and be like, yeah, I understand why you quit. But nobody do that. Nobody would do that. They light
them up. I don't think Debo would be a guy that quits, though. I'll be honest with you. Debo's a guy that wants to win at the highest level, and that's why I feel bad for anybody on this team, it's DeMar DeRozan. This guy was brought in at the beginning of the season to help this team compete, and now he's trying to bring them to the playoffs. And I don't know if you've been watching his games lately, though. He looks tired and, like, mentally drained. Like, his shots are all short. Mm-hmm. Like, and I've been wanting to ask him, like, hey, is it a legs thing for him, or is he just, you know, is it his follow-through not working out? Like, I don't know. But I don't disagree. Expectations can change throughout the season. But at the same time, you want higher expectations for a team, especially that wants to win at the highest level.
Well, and that's the other issue, Jake, is I don't know that this team is capable of winning at that high level. Like, no matter what happens over the next 10 days or maybe 2 weeks, or not 10 days, 10 games, but over the next 3 or 4 weeks, man, this team will probably probably should look drastically different when we return to this conversation next October.
You would hope, but you know who's in charge then? I think that starts.
Well, that's one of the things that might have to look different. Like, mm-hmm. one guy left for Utah. We'll see what happens with, you know, with Monty. But
I'm not even talking with that. I'm talking with your ownership. I you know,
well, I'm pretty sure he'll be the owner next year.
He's going to be the owner, but everything I've heard, like, I understand that you own the team and you have to have a say, but sometimes, you know, you need to step back and realize maybe this isn't my, like, expertise of how of business. Like, maybe you could be a good business leader, a great, you know, businessman, but it doesn't mean you're going to be a good owner of an NBA team. Some of the best NBA teams, you know, the owners, you know, do make decisions at the end of the day, don't get me wrong, but they make educated decisions and have the right people around them talking to them and listening to the right people, which I don't know if this ownership group has that right now.
Interesting.
I'm worried that there's going to be more poor decisions made over the next couple of weeks than what's going on right now.
What do you think of the decisions that Vivek Ranadive made?
Well, the way they went about firing Mike Brown, I'm not a very big proponent of. I'm not very happy about that, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a big proponent of bringing in a guy like Zach LaVine and not knowing how that's going to affect the locker room and if that's going to be a good or bad thing. Not saying that it has affected the locker room, but I just don't think that they've looked at that in the totality part of it. I also don't like how they've dealt with the way they broke up with De'Aaron Fox. Like, don't get me wrong, every breakup's going to be messy, but don't think it was held in the most, you know, great, in the best way possible. And I really don't know what's going to happen with Domantas Sabonis and how they're dealing with this. Like, that's the next superstar that's on the block of, like, okay, you know, are you going to fumble the bag at this? And I don't know if they have I have confidence knowing that they're going to be able to deal with this, or be able to rectify the situation with Sabonis and make him happy and give him a plan and an outlook that he can agree to and can see him moving forward. You know, guys like Keegan Murray are under contract still, of course, as a rookie. And that's, you know, that's another conversation probably more for this summer of what his future looks like within the team. But like, there's just questions, guys. And I'm not very, and I think that's the question that you have to ask yourself. Like, you know, there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes that a lot of us aren't privy to, especially fans as well. And you don't know who's really having that voice in that room. And that's where the decision-making process that I don't feel confident in.
Yes, we do. Vlade. We know Vlade is pulling all of the strings. It's only a matter of time before they tell us publicly. Well, I'm a little bit more excited and a little bit more high on the Sacramento Kings to get the job done tonight. One thing Jake said that I think he's 100% right on, we've talked about this now for weeks, but I'll repeat it. It's a game-to-game situation. It's a night-to-night situation. I don't, you know, we had fun with how many games do the Kings have to win to make all this work. That's perfectly fine. Right now, the 1-0. The focus is to leave Thursday 1-0, beat the Portland Trail Blazers, and whatever you got to figure out as you head to Orlando and you hit the road and all that, figure it out then. Beat the Portland Trail Blazers tonight and start this final 10-game stretch on a positive note.
Yes.
I'm with you. Hey, can I give a shout out to one person on this team that was Sabonis? This dude is just, he's like his father, just playing through injury, playing through, toughing it out, being the mark of a good soldier, as I would say. Like, he is just, you should see his ankle. Like, it's just, I sit there and I'm like, bro, I don't know if I could go through that. Like, you're just, you're tough, tough, tough individually, more mental than physical, quite honestly. And I think Domas, he may not look like himself, especially in that OKC game where he just didn't play that well, but just know that guy is doing everything he can and putting his body on the line to for his team and for this city.
Absolutely, man. That guy,
I won't question his toughness, but I'm going to ask him to shoot more.
He don't have his legs, though. He even told me that. He's like, I was like, you're short on your three-point shot. He's like, Jake, I've been off.
You don't have to shoot threes.
Okay. Don't disagree with you on that.
What was he the other night? 6 of 10?
6 of 10, 0 for 4 from 3.
That's fine. Okay, that's fine. Look, you've been great from 3 this year. It's fine. Mm-hmm. You have a bag by the basket. Utilize it.
Mm-hmm. Look for that shot. Hell, you don't even have to step out to 3. Like, you get that from 17 feet away, top of the key, they're not guarding you. Go ahead, pull that. But they need his aggressiveness on the offensive end, man. But to your point, I mean, the guy is tough as nails. You know, he's definitely tougher than a $2 steak. And you know, we thought he was going to be out 10 to 14 days.
Yeah.
And here he is 5 days later.
Crazy.
Going out there, giving everything he has out there. So he absolutely deserves all the respect in the world for trying to get these guys to the finish line, man.
Agreed. And then I think who comes along with him is going to be the big question mark over the next 2 weeks of who's going to step up. Like, and solidify them spot. I think Keegan has a chance to really solidify himself as a future of this team over the next 2 weeks if he can perform like he did against the Thunder he did the other night. I think the opportunity is there for him, and they're playing well defensively. It's just on the offensive end, just they look bad. Bad at sometimes. Bad.
Jake, big night for you guys over at CBS 13. Big stretch of programming coming up for you guys over the next couple of weeks over on CBS 13. Is there a storyline here in the Sweet 16 headed to the Elite Eight that you got your eye on a little bit?
I like right now what BYU is doing. I think that's an upset you can look at tonight over Alabama. That's something to keep an eye on. I like Texas Tech. I think their defense travels and the way that they have won, especially in those opening round games. The first round game, it was mainly by the three-point shot. Second round game was more by in and out, inside out. There's a kid on the Red Raiders, Darion Williams, that's actually a Capital Christian alum, or Capital Christian player, played there for his freshman year and then did the Jared McCain route and went down south for the final 3 years of his high school career. He's a kid that's from Sacramento. I would keep an eye on him. He plays for Tech. He's playing tonight. I want to see how well Cooper Flagg looks for Duke. Like, I've heard murmurs like that, you know, if Duke don't go all the way, he may come back. But if they do win this whole entire thing, like, I think he's going to be a solidified number one pick. But those are the storylines. I like Coach Cal. Like, you can just never – Calipari always doing his thing. Like, I love the coaching aspect of it, the way he brings in his guys and the way he coaches his guys. Extremely, extremely tough. I loved hard coaching when I was a kid. And I think that's something that I think we've kind of gone away from in this generation. But those are the main teams that I'm keeping an eye on right now that can really make some noise. Tomorrow night's going to be Houston. That's probably the one team that I can see coming out of. I think it's the Midwest bracket, mm-hmm. East bracket, I believe. No, Midwest bracket. So those are some of the storylines I'm keeping an eye on right now. Not a lot of upsets this year, guys. No Cinderella stories. Right, like
I'm perfectly
that's like
fine with that.
Everyone's been like, "Well, there's no Cinderella this year. Okay. There's no upsets." It's like, well, maybe it shows you the best teams are the actual best teams this year. Simple as that.
I
was sad though. I was crying on Sunday that UConn lost.
Well,
that's funny because I think you actually were shedding tears, and for some reason, that brings me a smidge bit of joy, but I don't know.
That damn Dan Hurley was at it again as they're walking off the court.
Hey,
just a whiny little something.
He's our psychopath, okay? He's our psychopath.
I think
okay?
You glossed over a really interesting. I think you glossed over a really compelling storyline that I didn't really like.
Michigan?
That's never been a thing. Well, it was back in the early 90s. No, you know, Casey and I were watching Cal and Patino the other day, and Coach Cal, like, looking at the Elite Eight, that's a pretty dope story to me. Like, Cal is he's special. Like, I mean, that's not breaking news. It's not a hot take. But, like, I just think him, you know, potentially winding up in the Elite Eight and, you know, beyond.
First year at Arkansas, too.
That's pretty special to me. That's a hell of a storyline.
The fact he's doing it again, because he's done it in every spot that he's done it at. You know, coming from the Northeast, he did it, you know, when he was, I think it was BU or Northeastern, one of the two. No, it was
UMass.
BU. What's up? Oh, UMass. It is UMass. It was UMass. My bad. Because Patino was at Northeastern. And then you have and Calhoun was up there as well. But no, he's an interesting character. Like, and the way he's been changed his philosophy. Like, if you remember in the early, you know, early 2000s, even late 2000s, he was always known for getting the five-star guys, putting four freshmen on the court, three freshmen on the court. Like, look at the amount of guys he put in the league 1 year at Kentucky and then move on. And that you kind of can't do that now in the current NCAA just because of how the transfer portal works right now, but he's still doing it. Like, still has freshmen on the team, but he's also, you know, built it up with some veteran guys and realized like that you got to be able to have some 21, 22 year olds on your roster to compete with some of these older rosters like a BYU that have an older team that are probably more seasoned and more physical compared to just throwing 18 year olds out there and letting them hoop. He's done it in multiple different ways, and the fact that he's brought Arkansas, out of all places, Fayetteville, to a basketball heaven, like, that's interesting as well, because Fayetteville is not known for its basketball. It's known for its football over there. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's doing it now in Arkansas is pretty impressive, and, you know, it's not going to stop here, I can tell you that much. I think he's going to be competitive in the SEC moving forward year in and year out.
I agree. I have Duke playing in the national championship game, losing to Florida. So I think they're going to win tonight. But I think Arizona is going to give them everything they can handle. Caleb Love, he is familiar with going up against Duke. Caleb Love is a feast or famine type guy. So he could have a bad game. Like, he could, like, look wild out there. But he could look like he did against Oregon, where he was – the best player on the floor. I just got my eye out for Arizona tonight. Got my eye out for him to make it a competitive game.
I don't think it's going to be that competitive. I think Duke's going to roll over Arizona tonight. I have no confidence in the Wildcats. Zero whatsoever. They always fumble the bag, guys. Always fumble the bag. It's either a first-round exit or an Elite Eight exit. They have it's just like... Well, when's the last time they were in the Final Four? I don't even know off the top of my head. I can tell you, it's been a minute. It's been a minute, and they've had some good players roll through that program there. And they got that new guy, Pete from Arizona, from Perry, that committed to them this morning. So they got two 4-stars, one of them being the younger James and son and Bryce, and then you also have this. I think it's Kea Pete, like. They're good, don't get me wrong. I just, they've never been able to bring it all together.
Who's with you tonight?
Kenny Caraway. Oh.
Hey, can you guys quiet down in there? We're trying to do a show.
People, like, just have no idea that, you know, we're trying to do a show in here. I'm the most popular person at CBS 13, and it is just getting to a point where people don't realize when you close the door, don't come in. Oh my goodness! All right, like, it's just
Jake's gonna go out
like
there and turn some tables over. When that door is shut, y'all keep out of here.
Yeah, straight up though, we're on a night with the man Kenny Caraway making his only stop of March Madness this year. It's okay, we'll forgive him later.
No, man, my mistake.
It's all good, my guy. It's all my good. Hey, we're gonna have great ratings though tonight coming on. After, I believe, that Duke-Arizona game, which will be I still think it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be a good matchup, but I don't think Arizona's won this. I think it's going to be Duke, but I'm from 9 to 10 o'clock tonight. Coach Katz tomorrow is back in action, and then we'll have our final sports extra before Final Four National Championship on Sunday to wrap it all up. So, you know, it's been fun, man. Like, there's nothing, you know, nothing wrong with March Madness in terms of it. Just, it always delivers. It never doesn't ever not deliver. And just doing it once again this year. Unfortunately, you know, like we said, no massive upsets. There's no. I will say this though, Kenny, you're a year late on McNeese State. Okay, you predicted it.
I was thinking about the future when I made that.
Then you called Will Wade and said, hey, figure this thing out for next year, please. Look like a dumbass.
I was projecting. That's what I was projecting.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, can one more thing about March Madness that I don't know if you guys have noticed this. Mm-hmm. The amount of guys that have transferred to these big time programs that came from smaller schools like mid majors. Like, did you guys see that list on Twitter at all?
I hadn't seen it. No. Mm-hmm.
So I'll send it to you tonight. It's really interesting. The amount of players that are in the Sweet 16 this year that played on mid-major programs last year, it's like half of them. Like, or if they didn't play on a mid-major, they played on a Power 5 but didn't get minutes last year and are actually getting minutes within one of these programs this year. It's wild what's happening in college football, or college basketball, how, you know, these big Power 5 schools with all this NIL money are plucking kids from a mid-major program that was a star there, having them be a role player, and now, you know, the team is ridiculously good and doing their thing in the Sweet 16. It's just
it's NCAA.
transfer portal. It's crazy.
It's the new JUCO. You know what I'm saying? Just the mid majors are the new JUCO. You got a guy like what's my man in Florida? Clayton. I think he was
Clayton Jr.
He was in
the UConn killer. Played Iona under Pitino.
Yeah.
Full circle moment for him, okay? Yeah, first time UConn won in that 13-game streak was against Iona and Clayton Jr., and then the last one, when the streak ended, it was against Clayton Jr.
He got his get back. So. But to your point, that's a guy that was a mid-major guy who, you know, elevated to another program. I can't wait for the reverse when the Power 5 guys start coming to Sac State. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I love the Bibby hire. I hope they have the money. I hope they have some money there for
them. They got money.
They see a big donor. They got major money.
They got money. That'd be all right.
All right.
Jake, we appreciate you as always, man. We'll be tapped in tonight. Thank you, my brother.
Appreciate you guys. See you on Sports Sunday this Sunday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got it. Jake Gaden, he'll be on with KC tonight following.
Tap in with us, man.
Duke and Arizona.
I hope it's a good game. That's always
I do think that's going to be a good game. I don't agree with Jake on that one.
I think Arizona's going to come to play. I don't think they're going to win.
I don't think they're going to win either. But
I think we're going to be like, oh, man, it's a five-point game with 5 minutes to go. I think it's going to be something like that.
Hmm. Yeah, it's kind of along the lines of what I was thinking. But we'll see. Obviously, it's March, so I'm a college basketball expert like everybody else. I do love the Coach Cal story, though. That didn't even register with me, really. It was till today.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay, what do we got? Arkansas, Texas Tech. Like, wow. He's got another shot at an Elite Eight. Mm. Like, I mean, once you get into the names, you get out of the round of 32.
Right.
Like, that's pretty dope.
Absolutely.
Elite Eight, you're on the doorstep of, you know,
so it's a one game thing. It's championship in football, like the conference championship game or something like that. You're almost there to the big time. Coach Cal, who doesn't, you know, we talk about how great he is, and I'm glad that people don't bring this up as like a slight. Only one national championship.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that doesn't tell the whole story about Coach Cal. He is one of the great college coaches of all time.
Yeah,
he
doesn't get credit for getting to the national title games.
Yeah, he's LeBron's got more, but he's like LeBron. LeBron got there what 10 times, but only won 4 to the finals. Coach Cal's gotten to the national championship game maybe 4 or 5 times.
Do you know Andy Hawk said to me today, because someone was asking me about the LeBron Stephen A. thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pamela Love.
This is going to be funny. Just
Pamela Love told me that Stephen A's big retort was listing all of the reasons that LeBron is number 2 on the greatest of all time list. I was like, well, that's cute. That has nothing to do with the conversation between Stephen A and LeBron. So you could tell Stephen A struggling when this is his now new argument on television. And well, Andy chimes in. Go ahead.
He said that's why LeBron doesn't like him, because he's always said that he's number 2. That's why he's bringing this.
Okay, sure. That's why. I'm sure that's why. Whatever Stephen A has to tell himself. Andy goes, yeah, LeBron is like 6 on my list.
Okay, Andy.
I said, okay.
Don't ever want to hear Andy's list.
I said, okay, Andy. One, you can't be serious.
Okay.
He's like, no, I'm serious. He only has 4 titles. I was like, okay. That's fine. Who is between 1 and 6, and he can't name anyone right away. And then he says Kobe. It's like, okay, I don't hate that. I don't agree.
Uh-huh.
And then, okay, so who's 3? And he's quiet. And then he goes, well, Tim Duncan's got 5 titles. I said, bye, Andy. I can't talk to you.
Tim Duncan is not better than LeBron James, but he does get forgot about in these conversations, even by me.
I don't think he gets forgot. Well, you forgot about him.
No, I don't think he's in anybody's top 10 until they actually think about it.
Well, you should think about it if you're giving a top 10 list. Yours is.
He's not in my top 10, though. He's not in my top 10.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine.
But I said that to even say, I'm like, damn.
I don't think Tim Duncan's a top 5 player of all time.
I would agree.
I'd have Steph over Tim.
Me too. Me too.
Would you have Larry Bird over Tim Duncan?
Yeah.
You're going to move Larry Bird out of the league. You can put Larry Bird at like 75.
I got Larry Bird 10.
I said, but at some point, you're going to have him at like 75. We'll come back. Still doing KC on ESPN 1320. I'll just talk about LeBron James today and forgot to mention that putback he had last night.
That was pretty cool.
That was a hell of a game.
That was really cool.
I thought one thing that really caught my attention when watching one of the replays is, and you know, maybe it was instinct, maybe everybody would have done this. There was no one around him. Like, he could have dunked it.
Yeah.
But I don't think he had the time. And I feel like he knew that. Like, I think when he got his hands on the ball, it was 0.2 seconds left.
Yeah, he had to tip that in.
Yeah. And he, like, because when I first saw him, I was like, man, I feel like he could have dunked it. And then watching it back in slow motion, it was like, well, he could have. Just it wouldn't have counted.
Right.
Would have taken too long.
That was a fantastic finish by him. Fantastic.
Yeah, not a fantastic game for him. But that's the benefit of having Luka and Austin Reeves on your team, both guys who played really well.
And a game, I mean, they're fine. They're making the playoffs, all this other stuff. But, you know, three losses in a row.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I don't want to say they needed it, but
two's still there for you. Like,
Go out, go win that game. Go win that game. So, it was good for them to get that, I guess, if you're into that kind of thing. Not good for me.
Why not?
Like, the Lakers, ain't nothing good about the Lakers winning. Okay, Lake Show. Oh, my gosh. Why?
It's fine. Whatever you say, pal.
Why is that even there
anymore? It's actually different when you... Yeah. That doesn't add up to me. Carmelo what? Anthony just signed with the Lakers, by the way.
Okay, Lake Show. Come on, man.
I'm sorry. Excuse me?
Just I ain't repping him. I'm saying
it. It's just a whole
oh, big, yeah, and then we cut it off. We cut it off when I'm explaining what's going on. It's, wow.
It's just it's just a whole different vibe when you can actually see it. You actually see the love that you have for the Lakers there.
Love for the Lakers. Will you stop it?
How
play
close
that
are
one.
They? Okay, I will. It's right here.
Will you stop?
Lakers a game back from third. Two's probably not a thing. Houston's actually two is a thing because I think the Lakers got two against Houston. Problem is, I also think they got two against Oklahoma City. So if they're a true title contender, they might have to show it here in these last 10 games of the season.
Damn, man, Houston at two.
Yep.
Houston at two is
yep.
That's pretty good for them, man.
Yeah, they got a game pretty and a half. They got a game and a half on Denver and 2.5 on Los Angeles and Memphis. Then you got the Clippers there at the sixth seed with the Warriors right there and the Timberwolves right there.
Yeah.
And then it's broken down into tiers, man. There's the Oklahoma City Thunder tier. There's the Rockets, Nuggets, Lakers, Grizzlies tier. There's the Clippers, Warriors, Timberwolves tier. And then there's the Kings, the Suns, and the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
Just 25 games behind Oklahoma City.
That's not that far away.
Yeah.
Just a little win streak away.
Just a crazy quarter-ish plus of the season away, and they'll be right there. Of course, there's only 10 games left. Are you following this NBA Europe League thing?
It's got my attention. I mean, there's been some rumblings before, but it's starting to creep back up again about them starting in NBA Europe. And
like an actual pro league mm-hmm. in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think...
Run by the NBA.
Yep. Run by the NBA. Getting prospective owners, you know, to potentially invest or get involved in being owners in this new league. I think it's going to happen. I think we saw kind of the blueprint laid out for what they're doing with NBA Africa,
mm-hmm.
and I think they can do that on a bigger scale potentially in Europe.
Well, Europe has a pro league.
Mm-hmm. The Euro League.
Yeah, this is you infiltrating someone's territory.
Yeah, I think they've talked about part of it would be. I'm trying to understand the verbiage that they use, but they would leave space for four Euro League teams to. I don't know, be a part of the league in general, be a part of scheduling, or what, but they're looking to incorporate, I think, 4 year old league teams in general. And I think if you can get that NBA backing behind it, and they'd also be going into different cities too. Like, I think they're talking about London, Paris. Like, they're going to the big cities, not, no disrespect, but a Belgium or something like that. Like, they're going to the biggest cities in Europe for this league, and that brings a little different energy. I wonder, I don't think it would be the case. If they started this NBA Europe and they got it going and, you know, they built the league up, we're talking 20, 25 years from now, 30 years from now.
Damn.
Would it get to the point where those guys over there are just playing that NBA? Wemby doesn't come over. He plays for France's NBA team. I say no.
30 years from, I can't even.
The only thing I think is reasonable is because I think there's going to be money. There's going to be money. And do you think if there's, we're talking London.
A max contract in 30 years is going to be $200 billion. I don't know what it's going to be in Europe, but
of course, it's
10% increases every year.
We talking your Londons, your Parises, right? Yeah. Do you think there might be people who want to play that kind of money, bro?
If there is, there are going to be people who want to play there instead of Sacramento. Or Oklahoma City.
I'm going to NBA Europe.
Like, no, they're like, oh, wait, I can go sign with Paris? I can go sign with Paris instead of Sacramento?
NBA Europe. Now, what they may do.
Is Tiger still in existence in 30 years? Because, like, oh, I don't know. Man,
yes,
I don't know.
Tiger's never going anywhere. Oh, well. They've survived the truth era. They survived it. Well, so they're not going anywhere.
Truth didn't really survive the truth era. So Let's be careful. Let's be careful. Keith's going to make another video on him.
Yeah, he broke that down really good.
Keith's just eviscerating all parts of Sacramento.
He just broke that down really well. That was really good job by him.
It was a great job. This Soul Bloom one was hilarious.
Oh, Soul Bloom was crazy. The Fire Festival Keith, of Sacramento.
Keith be killing him. Shout out our man great. Keith, broadcast journalist.
That was great.
Using his TV voice and everything. I was like, okay, Keith, busting their ass.
The thing that I wonder what they would do in NBA Europe is would they have the same rules as EuroLeague? Where EuroLeague, I could be a little bit off on this, but you can only have like two Americans.
I know that I don't know that I know that was a thing on the women's side. I don't know if that was a thing. I don't know the rules.
I think it is on the men. Maybe it's more.
It definitely was on the women's side.
Maybe it's like three or four or something like that. But traditionally these leagues, you can only have two. So if NBA Europe is what I'm calling it right now, if they go by the same guidelines, I don't think you'd be able to keep those guys because it's the NBA. I mean, but I don't know. Maybe money's behind it. Like I said, you got the London team, which is the New York City of Europe. Maybe they can afford.
Is London the New York City of Europe?
I've always thought it is.
Oh, that was your take.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was a bar. I thought that was something that I just didn't know that what they called it.
The most famous metropolitan city in Europe?
I haven't brushed up. I don't know. I would think it's probably.
I think it's a bigger, like I said, I'm not talking about square footage or land or anything like that. I'm not saying that.
Square footage.
I'm not talking about anything like that.
Somebody give me the square footage of London. Anybody got that?
I'm talking about the profile. I feel like it's London, but maybe it's Paris.